If you've ever felt stuck with supporting creativity in children, then you have hit a gold mine today. Not only is this episode going to blow you away, but I also just released a course called Cultivating Creative Resiliency. This is a course for therapists who work with children, and in this course, we go through tons of different experiences, techniques, reflections, and activities that can directly be applied in the therapy room. The focus of the course is to help you support the skill of creativity in your sessions. Now, as creative arts therapists and creative therapists, we're doing lots of creative and artistic work in our sessions, but we also have an immense opportunity in helping children learn and grow the skill of creativity. This is kind of the meta. Creative problem solving, thinking outside of the box, how to invent something out of nothing. These are skills that we can support as therapists, and the world needs so much more of. We can support this and not only improve the mental well-being of the children that we work with, but also create a ripple effect of creativity into the larger community. This course will teach you how to do just that. It's on sale until July 30th for $20 off. And if you order before then, you'll also get 2 bonus downloads. These are my most requested interventions. Also, if you're looking to boost your own creativity, then stick around for this episode because it's perfect for you. And I highly suggest you go get a copy of Martha's book, ASAP, Boundless Creativity. But I will save that for the episode. Thank you so much for what you do, and enjoy the episode. Welcome back to Creative Therapy Umbrella. This is a place where we talk about all different types of creative arts therapies, expressive therapy, and creative approaches to therapy. Today is a perfect example of that last part, creative approaches to therapy. On today's episode, I speak with Martha Alderson, and she is known as the Plot Whisperer for one of her best-selling books called The Plot Whisperer, Secrets of Story Structure Any Writer Can Master. Martha has recently published a book that I absolutely loved and found so, so helpful for my own creativity, and it's called Boundless Creativity, and it's a workbook for overcoming self-doubt, emotional traps, and lots of different creative blocks, and I found it really empowering and so wonderful to sit down and kind of spend that time with myself and figure out different things about me and how I could learn from creative mistakes and how I could make goals in creativity. And it was really wonderful. So in this episode, we dive into boundless creativity, but we really also talk about Martha's background because it's so unique. She is an author, but she had spent time as a therapist. And so she has this really wonderful full circle kind of story that comes together so beautifully in how she can offer all of this content and all of this support and these resources to help therapists with their creativity. And she has some really awesome video courses that are, those are linked in the show notes as well as all of her books. And the video courses are really cool for a lot of different kinds of things that you could, you know, writing your own children's book, which I think so many creative arts therapists, I've heard lots of creative arts therapists talk about that. So there are those video courses linked below in the show notes. So take a look at all of those links and enjoy this episode. Okay, Martha, welcome to the podcast.
I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
You are so welcome. This is a topic near and dear to my heart, and you have such an amazing perspective, and your work is really awesome on this topic, so I'm excited to dive in.
Thank you. I am too.
Awesome. Well, for our listeners, can you tell us a little bit about what you currently do?
Sure. So my name is Martha Alderson. I'm also known as the Plot Whisperer for work I've done with writers over the years. You know, every writer needs a plot. And so everybody sort of started coming to me for plot help. And but what I'm currently doing is I just write when the virus started, and in California we were asked to shelter in place. Almost the exact same day, my publisher released my new workbook called Boundless Creativity, a spiritual guide for overcoming self-doubt, emotional traps, and other creative blocks. So that's been interesting to, you know, get the word out and also sort of adjust to this new reality that we're all facing together. And then at the same time, I was working on a novel, a historical, bicultural, 20th century love story that will actually release at the end of August. So it's been a really busy, exciting, creative time, and also interesting because of, you know, what's happening in the country.
Absolutely. It's funny. I think a lot of people, I don't know if how you felt with this experience, but some people have said, oh, my creativity is like through the roof now that we're doing more shelter in place and quarantining. And some people are saying like, I have lost my creativity completely. Have you felt, which have you felt kind of on that spectrum, I would say, on that?
Well, I've heard the same thing, and it really makes me sad when I hear about the people who have sort of lost that spark, because it feels like such an incredible time to be creative, and that our world needs innovation and change, and, you know, the status quo just isn't working. And so we need new perspectives and, you know, for people to step up and to be creative and to think differently. So that really, inspires me to try to support people and to get the word out on social media of ways to lift your energy and to walk into, you know, inspiration in your spirit and the things that can really make you feel hopeful during this time when sometimes it feels very dark. So for me personally, it's really been high energy. I keep looking forward to the day that I can start to boogie board again, which is something I love to do in the Monterey Bay where I live, and you know, just calm down, because it's been nonstop, which is very exciting. And you know, it's sort of that energetic wave. You know, I talk in my workbook about the universal story and how the energy rises and falls in whatever we do. And so I'm really at the peak right now. I would say I'm in that phase of the prize and, you know, at that triumphant place. And I look forward to when the energy starts to wane a little bit. But for right now, it's fun.
I loved that you connected that to riding the wave. It's that, that's a great analogy for it too. For you mentioned the universal story, which is a big part of your workbook. Can you explain, that was actually my favorite part too. I even loved the little visual that's in there. It was visuals lock into my brain. So I'm wondering if you could explain a little bit about what that is to our listeners.
Sure. And the visual is there because I did work with special education kids in my early career and really appreciate how we all learn differently. You know, some of us are visual learners, auditory learners, kinesthetic, whatever. And I learn a lot better visually than I do auditorily. So I'm very sympathetic to that, empathetic, and wanted to provide sort of a multi-sensory approach. So the universal story is something that really came up out of the work that I do with plot, because when I first started writing fiction, you know, I couldn't get plot. I was dyslexic and nonverbal as a kid, and a very concrete learner. And, you know, I couldn't understand it. And this was sort of back in the dark ages, and there wasn't a lot written about plot. Today, everybody talks about plot, but back then it was not, there weren't a lot of books about plot, and screenwriters, you know, male screenwriters were really good with plot because Hollywood has a very specific sort of format that stories really take place within those confines. So I started analyzing all kinds of classic and literary and award-winning novels, memoirs, and screenplays. And I finally really got plot on a very concrete level. And once all my friends, writer friends, started understanding that I understood it, I started teaching it. And, you know, so my whole life went off on this tangent that I had never, ever expected. And I was, you know, that whole expression of follow your bliss. I think it's that you get hooked by something and then you're racing to try to keep up with it. And I feel like that's what's happened to me for half of my life now. But anyway, sorry, I digress. So the universal story is very, it started with Joseph Campbell's The Hero's Journey, which is something that writers are very aware of. But for me, I called it the universal story because I wanted it to be broader. You know, I think we get so caught up at the human level, and I see the universal story beyond just us, but I see it in nature. I see it in the seasons of the year, the lunar cycles, animals. You know, we all are on this sort of universal pathway. It's an energetic pathway. And if you can understand where you are on the pathway, you can much better understand why you're having the difficulties or the successes that you're feeling, so that you can let go of that feeling of, oh, you know, I'm not meant to do this, or it wouldn't be this hard, or, you know, why am I being blocked? And, you know, why is everybody else getting it and I don't get it, or whatever. There are gifts that are within those emotional blockages to creativity. And if you can be aware of that, you can really grow emotionally and spiritually in other ways and embrace what's happening and bring it into your creative juices, so to speak.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And the idea that there's something to learn in those moments of those blocks of, you know, digging deep into those and finding more out about those. And I also like the idea of the opposite of the same with success of, you know, kind of learning more about that and how that can continually impact your story.
Well, and I think when you, if, you know, so many people start very energetically and very excited, you know, you get a hit of inspiration and you're just raring to go with something. And so you're filled with optimism and strength. And then once you leave the beginning and move into the middle, which is where, you know, you're confronted with all of these obstacles and struggles and conflicts and antagonists. And it's supposed to be that way. There are very specific reasons why. But if you can work your way through that and actually reach the end and your triumph, which is when you have completed whatever you started, it may not look like you thought it would look. You may decide in the end, well, you know, it's not really quite what I want or whatever. But every time you reach the end, you're empowered. It's like the universal story acknowledges that you're willing to go the distance almost. And so you're gifted again with more inspiration. It's like, oh, if you're willing to manifest these little seeds, then we want to work with you. Because really, if there is a force out there somewhere, the only way that the new ideas or the evolution or the transformations can happen is through us. We are the ones that bring it into the physical form. And so every time you reach your triumph, you become more empowered and you realize the next time through, oh, I know where I am. Everything's going to be okay. I just have to figure out what I'm supposed to learn here, what's going on. And it really becomes smoother and smoother. And, you know, all these moments of serendipity start to happen and sort of these miraculous moments, and it's really quite exciting, which is why I really support people in being creative and to believe in themselves, you know, to go the distance and not fall into that trap of, I'm not enough, I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, who do I think I am, this is a waste of time, who's ever going to care, and actually, you know, play small instead of moving into their greatness.
It's so empowering, even just hearing you talk about it. It's like, yes.
That's like, what I want to do, is empower people.
yes. Just hearing you talk about it. And from my experience with the book too, there, that empowering element just feels so, it gives momentum, you know, it's like that, yes. Okay, thank let me, re- yeah. And which is, I think sometimes, which feels to me anyway, in my creative, when I get stuck, it feels like a loss of momentum, but it's like, sometimes you just need the push to keep going and understand. And then it's like, okay, we've got it rolling. We can keep going.
Yes. And to really believe that that is part of it, that, in those moments where you lose that momentum, to go inward and to figure out, is it something that has to do with the craft itself? If you're doing a specific creative endeavor, you know, like learning how to paint or sculpt or whatever, perhaps you need to learn something to help enhance your craft. Like for writers, you know, how do you create plot? How do you create a character? How do you create thematic significance? You know, at some point you realize, oh my gosh, I don't have everything I need to do what I need to do. And so those are more external, but then there's also a lot of internal, because once we set a goal for ourselves, we meet ourselves. Because we will, all of our old stories and our old patterns and habits are going to come forward of, you know, giving up or losing energy, or, you know, I work with people sometimes who are great at talking about it, you know, about the stories they're going to write or the this they're going to do, but they use up all their energy in talking about it, that when it actually comes to doing it, they just peter out, and it's like, oh well, and then they wait for the next inspiration, and then they talk that up. And so those are really worthy things to learn about ourselves and to embrace about ourselves, and to dig or dive deep into ourselves to, you know, to learn more about why and what can we do about it. And it's a creativity has so much to offer, and we're born to be creators.
And we need it. We need it, as we were talking a little bit about this before, but as individuals and as a greater community and as humans.
Well, and when you think about how many things that people have created out of nothing but thin air that have changed the world. You know, even a speech that someone gives, or a book that someone writes, or a, you know, something that somebody creates on any level, and you know, like even music, a symphony, or and it causes people to weep for joy because of this, you know, energy that enters their body and lifts their spirit. So what we create has the potential to change the world, and it will always change our world, our own personal world. And that in itself is enough.
Yes, that in itself is absolutely beautiful. you also mentioned in your book the goals. And those, I think that you have a really interesting take on goals and how you kind of use that in the book. Can you explain a little bit about what that, the use of goals in this workbook?
Sure. So what I wanted to do was to create tension within the person reading the workbook, because I want to bring up all that stuff that's down there that's interfering with us, you know, living our greatest lives, our most creative, wonderful, exciting, energetic lives. And so I ask people to come up with a goal, a creative goal. You know, I want to write a book. I want to, you know, create a website. I want to, you know, whatever it is. I want to create a program for children that I'm working with. I want to create a curriculum for teachers. And then to give themselves a deadline, because deadlines create tension. Like, what? I have to do this by a certain time.
I have to take a time.
Yeah. So, and I suggest in the book, perhaps a month, that, you know, that could work for the workbook. And so it's for the first time through the workbook. And then to come up with short-term goals. And these short-term goals are what you envision that you're going to do every day, or how often you decide that you're going to show up for your creativity. You know, there's a lot of people who say, well, I don't write every day. You know, I wait for inspiration to hit before I write. Well, for the muse or whatever it is that visits us, that gives us the energy to, you know, come up with these things in our imagination that's like, oh, where did that come from? The muse will visit us more, you know, easily if we show up at the same time, at the same place every day, or 3 days a week, or, you know, whatever it is that you can manage. And for parents who have children, you know, lots of times they'll do it at 4 o'clock in the morning, or they'll stay up and do it at 11 o'clock at night, or whatever. You know, a lot of times by having only a specific amount of time that's available to you is better. And I think that sometimes the reason that a lot of people are running out of energy to do anything, it's because they have this big expanse of time to fill. And so they don't do anything at all. Whereas if you have to delegate your time, you know, sometimes it's you do better. But anyway, so that you then decide every day what you think you're going to do, what you need to learn, how it's going to unfold. And I suggest that they put those short-term goals on a universal story template, which is in the book, and it's sort of this energetic pathway, so that you can see where you're going to run into some problems potentially, and the sorts of, you know, what's going to be asked of you energetically. Because when you start out, you know, like I said, you're going to have a lot of energy for it. But as you go, the energy of the universal story does grow and get higher. And so more and more is going to be expected of you. And so the tension is going to increase, which is going to bring up all kinds of emotional stuff, you know, resistance, denial, frustration, anger, you know, all of these emotional things that are worthy to sit with and to visit and to get to know about yourself. Because if it's happening in this program, you know, the Boundless Creativity Workbook program, it's happening everywhere in your life. You know, this is not something new. And so even if you resist it and say, oh, this isn't the way I always am, you know, if you talk to your friends, they'll probably say, oh yeah, this always happens to you. You know, it's sort of these patterns that we want to bring up, we want to eliminate, and we want to create new patterns, new rituals, new routines that better enhance our lives.
I love that. Oh my goodness. I love the idea of tension and how much that not only brings up, but it's like when you're up against a wall, you're kind of like, oh, I have nowhere else to go but where I'm facing, you know, all of this behind me. I can't go that way. I have to go this way. And I didn't think about it when I did the book too, but now going back, I'm like, oh, I see. I can see how that was designed in there. So,
that's so great, because when you do go back, there's something lost. it's sad. You know, it's if you give up on a creative project, essentially you're giving up on yourself. And there's something really tragic about that. And so that's why I wrote the workbook is, you know, I've worked with so many creative people, some of whom are so brilliant and so, you know, filled with so much potential. And the things that they would say about themselves, you know, the hurtful things that we would never say to somebody else, but that they say about, oh, you know, I'm no good. This is a mess. Oh, why do I even, you know, all of those things that are going through our mind a million miles an hour over and over again. And they're just stories that we've made up based on our reaction to things that have happened in our lives or what other people have said to us or whatever. And they're stories, and the stories can be revised, just like a story. If you're a writer, you can revise your story at any time and come up with a brand new story where you are the main character of your story. You are the heroine. You are, you know, you are the one that changes the world.
Rewriting that narrative. Yes. So powerful. So your, you touched a little bit on that catalyst of creating this book. Was that the catalyst in itself that you experienced people who you wanted to support and empower, like you said earlier, and that's kind of where this book came from?
Yes. So I also wrote years ago, The Plot Whisperer, Secrets of Story Structure Any Writer Can Master. And that was a plot book for writers, memoirists, you know, screenplay writers, and novelists. And in that, there are two elements. One is the plot for the protagonist in your story and the other characters. And then I also did mention the writer. And so there are sort of two tracks that this that the book goes through. And the track about the writer really caught on. I mean, that book was my breakthrough book and got a lot of attention and did really, really well. And but it was this other, it wasn't the plot for the protagonist as much, although that really helped a lot of writers. But it was this other side that, you know, I remember going to a conference in Arizona or somewhere, and you know, somebody flew in from overseas and said, I just had to meet you in person. You changed my whole life. And so anyway, it was sort of like a cult, you know, this thing that happened. And so from that point on, I really wanted to write this workbook, and I started working on it. I made a video series that's up on my website, and I and then my agent at the time sold it to a publisher, and I was given the opportunity to write it, and it just it really transformed my life, being able to write it. And I really, my greatest hope is that it lands in the hands of people that it's going to really help and help inspire people to believe in themselves.
Yes. And this book, I think, could be incredible for creative arts therapists if they haven't gotten a hold of it already. And we'll dive into that a little bit of how this book specifically can help creative arts therapists. But I'm wondering if before you can tell us about your experience as a therapist, too, because that goes before becoming an author. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So because I was nonverbal and dyslexic when I was a child, I remember when I was in college and I was getting to the point where I needed to declare a major, and I was somewhat ambivalent about what I wanted to do. And my mother at the time, well, my mother, I don't even remember who the therapist was, but anyway, she had me meet a therapist because I had had therapy, lots and lots of therapy when I was a child. And so I followed this therapist around and I thought, wow, I really like this. And it felt like if I went on to become a therapist, I will complete the cycle, which felt really right to me. And so I got my master's in communication and, you know, all kinds of degrees. And then I started working with children. When I was in my graduate program, I worked with autistic kids. And actually in this novel that's coming out at the end of August, the female point of view character works with this autistic boy. And it's very much based on a relationship I had with a little boy that she sort of falls in love with, who's autistic. And anyway, so I worked in the public schools, and I was a speech, language, and learning disability therapist. I sat on whatever the committee was where any child that needed to go into a special program would come before this committee. And I remember, you know, walking out of the first meeting, and it was at night, and I was just kind of overwhelmed by some of the stories I had heard that were just kind of really grisly stories about parents and children. And I remember walking to my car in the parking lot, and there was a hole, and I kind of tripped and fell in the hole, and I couldn't remember how to get out of the hole. It was like I was so overwhelmed by it with sorrow, you know. And so I really felt this sense of frustration and loss in how can you give what some of these children need. We can never do enough. You know, we can help in lots of different ways, but it's really helping the parents to help, because it, you know, most of what takes place will take place at home, we hope. Mm-hmm. And then I started a clinic for children in my area. We provided special services to all the private schools in the South Bay area in Santa Cruz. And it was a speech, language, and learning disability therapy clinic. And I had, I don't know, about 5-7 therapists working for me and a couple of psychologists. And so, I really loved working with kids. And when I left the therapy, we moved for a short time to Colorado. And that was where my dad had started doing a bunch of research on one of our ancestors, and he wasn't getting anywhere. He wanted to write a biography. And so I said, send me all of your stuff. I'll organize it for you. And then this story just sort of swept out of me, and I just got hooked with writing. Mm-hmm. And so I sold my practice and I started writing, but I really had a lot of anguish about giving up what I, you know, you learn so much, you become so wise and experienced about working with children and parents. And so then I started teaching writing workshops to children, both in my community and then in a children's shelter for kids that were abused and abandoned and neglected. And that was, again, you know, just an incredible eye-opener. But it was wonderful to feel like I was still using the gifts that I had been given, you know, working with kids in both public school and in the clinic, and continuing with that. And I don't anymore, and I do miss it, but I also love what I'm doing now. And it feels like it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is so beautiful to hear your whole story of how that evolved and, you know, where you started and that coming full circle. And I even think now it's interesting, even, you know, this book is, you know, we're talking about it to a bunch of, you know, our listeners are all therapists. So
I love that. When I had this opportunity, it was like, oh my gosh, here we go. This is a way I can give back.
Yeah. Yeah, coming full circle again in a really cool way.
Grateful. Yeah.
Yes, yes. I think that having that experience too, we talked a little bit about this, of how therapists can utilize this book in their own work, whether it's for self-care or for learning about their own creativity or supporting their clients. Can you speak a little bit on how therapists can take what's in this book and bring it into their personal and professional life?
Sure. So again, I think that, you know, working with kids can be uplifting and it can also be challenging because of the limitations that we have. And I think that it can be exhausting sometimes, and we really need a way to care for ourselves in order to keep our energy high, our belief in the miraculous, our sense of worthiness that what we're doing is enough. You know, we'll never be able to do it all, but what we do is enough. And so I hope that the workbook would help therapists to, you know, get to feel and know themselves on a deeper level about when they reach blocks in their working with kids, or they start to flounder or start to doubt themselves or want to give up or change professions or even have great success, you know, to be able to know, what did I do to get to that place of success with this child, so that I can replicate that and I can use this skill, the skills that I learned, in order to broaden my base and my, you know, my set of talents that I have to offer kids, which I think is really critical, that we can be able to tap into those parts of ourselves to both know the limitations, but also to be able to embrace our strengths and to own those strengths, and not to down talk them, you know, not to say, oh, it was nothing, or oh, anybody could do it, or you know, those things that we do and say, it's just blows my mind. But to be able to really embrace and celebrate and to have a party and celebrate, you know, on a Zoom call or something, of, oh my gosh, you know, I had this big breakthrough. I want to share it. And this is what I did. And this is what I'm going to take forward with me, that this is a skill set that's mine. This is what I know I need to learn more about, patience or, you know, encouragement or this or that, but I know that I am great at this. And with that empowerment, it allows you to be a much better therapist. So I hope that the workbook could work on both levels, because we all have a backstory, you know, in novels, a backstory is everything that has happened to the character before the story begins. And you don't always tell all those things, but you want to know them so that you can sort of bring it out in the story, in the development of the character. And we all have backstories, you know, depending on how old you are, and you know, your backstory could be really long, like mine. And you, Kate, yours could be really short because you look so young, but we all have backstories and we all have suffered pain. And if you haven't, I really can almost assure you that at some point along the line, you will. And it's not a bad thing. I mean, yeah, it's going to hurt and it's going to really crush you. And, you know, things are going to fall apart, but that's part of the universal story. And if you can embrace that and hold that, you can, you know, because sometimes in order to find our true path, we have to lose everything. We have to be stripped of everything, because sometimes we're just off in the wrong direction. You know, we've gotten lost. We're making poor choices, or we're, you know, going down the wrong path or whatever. And the only way to get us back and get us towards our destiny or towards our truth, sometimes we have to really suffer great loss. And in doing so, we burn off all that which holds us back. And though it's very painful at the time, the freedom that comes with that is absolutely incredible. And it's really quite an empowering situation, although it's, you know, it's the dark night of the soul. It's kind of going through hell. It's, you know, it's a very dangerous time for people if you go too deep and too dark. But, you know, there are a lot of people that are suffering from depression and, you know, sadness and a lot of negative emotions, especially now. And I think if we can dive deep, which I talk about in the workbook, and embrace some of those, learn from those, don't run from those, but expose them to the light. You know, the more that we let pain sit in our bodies, the more it's going to really harm our health. And so if we can bring it out into the light, we then can free ourselves and become who we came here to be.
Someone, I love the idea of bringing the light to those feelings. Someone, actually this might be Tara Brach who said this. I love her podcast and her books, but it's reimagining those feelings as them as a person that you're sitting with on a park bench. And like they have, yeah, they're important. You know, there's important wisdom to gain from those feelings and experiences. And it's natural to want to run away, but we can perpetuate so much creativity and through that, so many ripple effects. But if we just spend the time sitting with that, bringing light to that and sitting with those feelings.
Well, because it's us. I mean, that's part of us. You know, we only show the good parts. Oh, how do you feel? How are you doing? Oh, I'm great. Even though maybe inside you're not, you know, it's, we don't really have an opportunity to be able to express a lot of that darkness. And yet that is as much a part of us, as valuable a part of us as any of the upbeat, you know, gifts that we create and give out to the world. And the more that we can embrace them and share them, the more that it allows others around us to embrace their flaws and their doubts and allows them to also be more empowered.
Yes, yes, that ripple effect.
Yeah.
With some of the things in the book, the more experiential components, do you think those things could directly apply to interventions within a therapy session?
Sure, because when you're working with children, you know, no matter how well organized you are and how you have everything set up and, you know, you never know what's going to happen or how they're going to react. And you have to be able to access your creativity and, you know, be able to adapt to what's happening now in the moment with the kids. And so the more that you're able to do that for yourself, the more you'll be able to bring that into the therapy session with the children. And it's also, I think, important to allow those moments to happen because, again, you know, instead of trying to direct everything and have it be our way, we're not allowing the children to express themselves fully and allowing them to be able to walk into their own power of directing and allowing them to, you know, create some of the dynamic that's going on. And it's scary because chaos is, you know, never easy. And yet that's sometimes where some of the most profound things happen is when we let go of this rigid control. Because most of us are afraid of that. You know, we're afraid that we're going to lose control. Everything's going to go crazy. We're going to lose our reputation. You know, everybody's going to talk about us and say, oh my gosh, did you hear what happened? And yet if you really believe in yourself and you believe in the child and you believe in the process of what you're doing, you can, you know, affect change at a level that maybe you didn't really expect. So I would hope that this workbook would allow people to therapists to be able to embrace that about themselves, but also to let kids, you know, kids, especially young children, still seem like they're connected to the great beyond, you know, wherever we come from or whatever that sort of energy is. Mm-hmm. And they have vivid imaginations. And, you know, lots of times those imaginary worlds or imaginary friends or some of the things they say can be ridiculed or, oh, that's silly, or come on, buckle down, we're working on this right now. Whereas those are really mystical, magical sort of moments. And the longer that we can help a child hold on to those connections to that imaginary place, the more, the deeper the child will be able to access their own creativity, because it's really the connection to the spirit. You know, I talk about, you know, this is a spiritual guide. And what I mean about spirit is that it's that non-physical part of us. It's that part of us that perhaps goes on after our physical form dies. And us as humans, you know, we're caught up in all the human pursuits of, you know, whatever it is, working with kids, creating a family, you know, having a home, working to make money to buy food and this and that. Those are all, you know, physical in the here and now. But there's also this other part of us, this spiritual part of us that is in awe when we see the sunset, you know, and it just brings tears to our eyes. Or we get those goosebumps when we hear a certain song, or, you know, it's that connection to everything else in the universe. It's sort of this energetic force that's this energetic universal story. And the more that we can access that, because that's where our intuition comes from, our wisdom comes from. It's not from our head, and even it's not always from our experience, but it's from being able to listen and value what's coming out of us. And if we can do that for children, oh my gosh, the world could be a really magical, different place.
Yes, if we could remove that judgment of thinking, placing judgment on what comes out in those faces, it would, I think it could change the world. It really could.
Well, because I think there's such a push for conformity. You know, oh, what are the neighbors going to say? Oh, you sound ridiculous. Oh my gosh, you know, that's not what everybody else is doing. You have to do it this way. Or, you know, and not allowing for that unique, quirky, different, you know, and because we're so afraid of our own insecurity and that we want to fit in, that we are overprotective and want the children to also, you know, fit in and do the right thing and act normal, you know. But I think that it can really crush the potential. And yes, the child and we will be happy, but we won't necessarily be all that we could be if we allowed ourselves and our kids and the kids that we work with the freedom to express themselves fully.
Yeah, it's making that space.
Yeah.
So with, we touched on a little bit about this with self-care, of how much this book can really, you're putting so much energy into yourself, into reflecting on your own, the way you tick and why things are important. And can you tell us a little bit about why this is important during a time like now with COVID happening 4 months ago now, you know, with this creativity, and why now it's so important to be really tuning into that creative spirit?
Well, and I think what's fascinating is that it's not just COVID, but it is this whole, you know, all of the demonstrations and the marches and the outcries for justice and for inclusivity and for diversity and to right the wrongs that have been done in the past. And there's a lot of that in the novel that I wrote, which is Parallel Lives, a 60s love story. And it's based in the San Francisco Bay Area in the 1960s, which was, you know, sort of the hotbed of the peace love generation during the Vietnam War. And a lot of similar things happened. You know, there were a lot of marches, there were a lot of demonstrations, there was a lot of trying to suppress it. You know, there were Kent State, you know, kids were killed. I mean, there's just a lot of sort of similarities. I know it's very different, but there's still this outcrying, these demands for change. And so between these two elements that are happening in the world today, really what's happening is the status quo, the way things have always been done, is being stripped away, whether we like it or not. You know, everybody is trying to go back to the way things were before, only to be hit even harder with the virus, it seems like. I mean, I know this is all sort of political, but, we are being asked to change, which is never easy. Everybody wants to do things the way they've always done it. So now is the time to come up with creative solutions, innovations, new attitudes, new ways to embrace reality, to have reality look and feel differently, and not to be afraid of that. You know, to really allow the newness, like we were just talking about with kids, the space to be able to expand and to listen to our intuition. We know. So there's a sense of knowing, there's a sense of thinking, then there's a sense of knowing, but then there's also this deeper sense of just, you know, where you know something at such a deep level that somebody could say something, but you know in your heart of hearts or in your spirit what the real truth is. And if you can hold on to that and create through that power, you know, who knows what could happen? I just think there are so many opportunities. I was working with someone the other day who is a photographer. And, you know, she does her photography sessions in person. Well, that's really tough now, although she's adapting and doing things. But there's also these opportunities of, well, what could you do online that will look totally different, be the on the cutting edge of something so new and so innovative that you'll transform this forever. I mean, that is what we're being offered right now, if we will only step up. But it takes a deep belief, because when you go outside the status quo and, you know, what is conventional, mm-hmm. you're branded as, oh, look at her, you know, she's gone off the deep end or this or that. But, you know, those are the people who will change things for the better. And but it takes enormous courage and strength and belief to do that. And I really hope this workbook can provide a little bit of that for people.
Yes. And as therapist, you know, doing this workbook as a therapist, what more amazing thing than to be able to create a similar space for kids so that when they are, you know, in their 30s and 40s, it's not a barrier for, you know, all of those things of, you know, the status quo is, it's different. They've, you know, they've been able to think outside the box and not had that, they've had a space to feel that.
Well, and these kids are going to grow. I mean, this is their reality. They're never going to know, a lot of them, or remember what it was before. Mm-hmm. And so if we allow them the opportunity to, you know, to think broader and to do things differently, no matter how scary it might seem, you know, we're allowing the future to change, because they are the ones that will go forward. And you know, this is their reality that they're going to be moving into. So if we really try to box it in and do things as we've always done it and have the same expectations and, you know, all of these different things, we're not preparing them for a future of enormous change.
That's the most, I think as a therapist working with kids, it's just so empowering, and there's a lot of responsibility, you know, as therapists, we know that, but then there's so much potential of what, not only the effect we can have on the individuals, but on that larger community scale, on that huge, huge scale.
Well, and that's why I think a podcast like this is really exciting, because you're inviting therapists who work with the future opportunities to think differently, to do things differently, and to really think about their therapy sessions and the materials that they use and their expectations and all of those things differently, and to support the parents to think differently, and that the home environment is different. I mean, it's so different, but we're clinging to the past. Oh, it's going to go back to normal. Well, I don't think it's ever going to go back to normal. I mean, whatever the heck normal was, you know, it's just different, and it's an opportunity. It doesn't have, you know, we can mourn and we can feel bad for what we are losing, but we can also embrace all of the great things that could be waiting for us as well.
Oh, yes. All of the great things that are out there. Who knows what they are?
Who knows?
I know. It's so exciting.
It is. It really is.
Yes. Yes. Well, as we're coming to a close, obviously in our show notes, there will be a link to your book so people can easily go and access that. But I'm wondering if you can, and there will be links to all of your social media as well, but I'm wondering if you could tell us a few places to find you, whether that's email or your website for listeners, if they want to hear it first and quick type it in. If you could let us know how to get a hold of you for our listeners who want to know more.
Sure. And I hope you put my novel up too.
I will. I'll put all just of your books. All the books are going in there. I've been writing them down where they occurred. So
there's a lot of books. I mean, I've written, published a lot of books. I've been doing this for a long time. But so my website is marthaalderson.com. And there's a contact page on my website that you can, you know, email me, or I'm at martha@marthaalderson.com. I'm on all the social media, either as The Plot Whisperer, like on Twitter, I'm The Plot Whisperer because that's where I started. And on, you know, I have several groups on Facebook. I'm on Pinterest. I have a lot of boards. You know, if you're interested in writing or creativity, I have a lot of different, you know, they call them boards. And I'm on Instagram, although I haven't been on that long. And one is Martha S. Alderson, and the other is The Plot Whisperer. So really, you can find me anywhere. I'm on YouTube. I have a channel on YouTube with a lot of free videos. I also, because of COVID, was desperate to want to do things. I wanted to do something to help, and I didn't really know how to do that. So I have these online programs, four programs. Three of them are for writers and one is creativity. And they're free now. Usually I charge money for them, but now they're free. So you can feel free to go to my website and check those out and see if you've ever wanted to write a novel or you wanted to write a picture book. A lot of you might have picture book ideas. There's a great picture book video series that I did with my agent, who's no longer agenting. She now works for the Smithsonian. But
That's awesome. I'll be sure to link to those courses. I'll put direct links for those too in the show notes. Those sound fun.
I think so. I've heard some really great feedback from people who have taken advantage of filling their days by watching the videos and trying something brand new and taking a risk, going into the great unknown, and been pleasantly surprised. So it's very gratifying.
That's awesome. Well, Martha, I want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing not only your story, but your passion. And I'm so excited for this to get out there and for listeners to go dig deeper and take advantage of the opportunities in that new change.
Well, I'm really grateful. It's wonderful to get to connect to this population. I feel like I'm sort of connecting to my past.
Yeah.
Because everybody that I used to know were all therapists. So good luck to all of you.
Wonderful. All right. I hope you guys enjoyed that episode. I know that I feel very inspired to go be creative and dig into creativity and what it means to be creative. I can't recommend Boundless Creativity enough. It was such a wonderful, wonderful book for me. I felt like it was a really deep, deep dive into creativity, especially with having a specific goal, and I really, really enjoyed it. So that link is in the show notes, so you can check that out there. Also, there is just a reminder that there is our anonymous survey that's located in the show notes too, and that is for you to vocalize your thoughts, your concerns, your suggestions, anything you would like for us to hear. That comes directly to us, and we wanted to put that up there as a way for your voice to be heard. So let us know. Hearing from you is my favorite thing ever, so please use that. Also, a reminder that our course is on sale, our Cultivating Creative Resiliency, which is for therapists working with children, talking about how to support creativity, and lots of the stuff that Martha and I talked about in this episode is very relevant for this training in how we can support children, how we as therapists can open our minds to creativity. I love what Martha said about how kids have this connection to creativity, and unfortunately sometimes that diminishes as they get older, and creativity really is a resiliency factor that we should be targeting more frequently. So check out the course if you are interested in learning how to do that more. Thank you guys so much for listening. Take care and be creative.